606 to talk 107.3 FM WBRP. Good morning, everybody. Brian Haldane here with you. Taylor Sharp producing, and glad to have you aboard for our 2 hours this morning. We take you up till 8 a.m. when we turn things over to Brian Kilmeade from Fox News Talk. Got a lot. Oh, we're guest heavy today. Jacob Hester's going to step in 10 minutes to talk a little bit about NBA draft. I know Hester's a football guy, but goodness gracious, it's all there is this week is the NBA draft. So much excitement surrounding the NBA draft, not just with the Pelicans, but with a couple of Tigers that are expected to hear their name called on Thursday night, tomorrow night. That's coming up in 10 minutes. Larry Magid from CBS, he's their technology expert. Larry's going to join me at 6:25 to talk about cryptocurrency. Facebook has a new cryptocurrency. We're going to dive into that with Larry at 6:25. Then, of course, Franz Borghardt joins us for Legally Served. Franz is on the road today, but he will dial in via telefono, and we will chat about we're actually going to talk about what he's doing. I know we don't really talk about headlines when it comes to the law, but what he's doing right now is pretty cool, and he is in the middle of a trial. And I thought a little bit of, you know, what actually goes on that we don't normally see behind the scenes of a trial would be fun to talk about. So we're going to chat with Franz Borghardt at 6:35. We've got State Representative Stephanie Hilferty from the Metairie and Lakeview area in New Orleans. She's going to join us at 7:17, talking about what she did during the legislative session. Yeah, we've still got a couple of more legislative recaps to get in. And then at 7:35, of course, Congressman Garrett Graves will join us as well. All that's still to come. Right now, though, we start every morning with top stories and trending.
Now, top stories and trending, keeping you informed on the stories people will be talking about today. Number five.
Starting off in Donaldsonville with a story that we touched on yesterday when we spoke with Rodney Mallett from DOTD. There will be intermittent closures on the Sunshine Bridge later this week. According to DOTD, the closures will begin be between 8 p.m. and 12 a.m. Thursday night. Only one direction of traffic will be closed at a time. It's just a little follow-up inspection they're doing on the Sunshine Bridge, but DOTD letting us know another closure is on its way.
Number four.
One person died in a single vehicle accident yesterday evening on Chippewa Street. The crash was reported sometime around 6 p.m. Chippewa at I-110. The Baton Rouge Police Department tells WBRZ the driver suffered a medical condition prior to the accident. More information should be coming shortly on that investigation.
Number three.
Deputies have arrested a second suspect involved in a May shooting. Around 1:30 in the morning on May 21st, deputies with the East Baton Rouge Parish Sheriff's Office were called to an apartment complex on Corsi Boulevard in reference to a shooting. At the scene, authorities found a man inside a unit suffering from multiple gunshot wounds. Before being taken to the hospital, the 41-year-old victim said he had been shot during an armed robbery that happened in the parking lot. Authorities were able to identify Darius Brooks and Javon Williams as suspects. Brooks was arrested Monday. According to the arrest report, Williams and Brooks met the victim for a drug transaction. During the deal, the victim and Williams got into an argument, and, well, it escalated from there.
Number two.
Former LSU quarterback Rohan Davey said it's his family's referenced as individuals A and B in court documents first reported by WBRZ related to the federal investigation into John Paul Funes. The business report published an account from Davey late Tuesday. Davey told the Baton Rouge industry media outlet it was his mother and sister that were referenced in the federal court documents. Funes is charged with embezzling more than $500,000 from Our Lady of the Lake Foundation. He's expected to plead guilty later this week.
Number one.
Well, the numbers are in on the flood from Thursday before last. Baton Rouge officials say more than 500 damage reports were submitted following severe weather earlier this month. The deadline to submit the reports was Monday. Records show that 204 buildings flooded, 134 vehicles received water, 110 structures were damaged. The vast majority of the flooded buildings were residential. There's a full breakdown of the numbers at WBRZ.com. It's total 504 reports. So that storm came up out of nowhere, did a lot of damage, and then got out of here just as fast. That's a look at your top stories presented by DaleBuysHousesNow.com. You can turn that ugly house into cash with DaleBuysHousesNow.com. Any house, any condition, does not matter. Check out the website or give them a call. 225-291-8000. 225-291-8000 for DaleBuysHousesNow.com. And oh, by the way, Dale buys more than just houses. If you've got an apartment complex, check out DaleBuysHousesNow.com. He will buy it. If you have a commercial property, he will buy it. What about a blighted property? No problem. What about a property? Let's say you just inherited an empty lot somewhere or a house you were never planning on touching. Dale can help you out. DaleBuysHousesNow.com. You can check him out. Here's a look at what's trending this morning. Trending might be a loose term on this one, but I saw the story and I couldn't pass it up. because of the headline. Officials promise new adult video store isn't real. Over to Plaquemine, where parish officials are reassuring Iberville residents that a Lions Club building hasn't actually been replaced by an adult video store. I love when you don't have to write jokes. They're in there already. Posted on the parish council's official Facebook page Tuesday, a post on the Facebook page aimed to quell questions and concerns after a sign reading adult video appeared on the social club's facade. The explanation? It's for a film shoot. There's no word on what movie it might be, but the parish said the building along Highway 77 is being rented out to Celtic Studios. The parish council reiterated that no permits have been issued for a real adult video store in the area. So, no adult video coming to Plaquemine. No adult video coming to Iberville Parish. At least not replacing that particular Lions Club. It's 6:12 at Talk 107.3 FM. We're checking traffic in 2 minutes, and then Jacob Hester steps in for sports on WBRP. 6:15 at Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP. Good morning, everybody. Joined now by the host of Hanging with Hester on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge. Jacob Hester in with us. Jake, good morning. How are you, bud?
I'm good. I've got vacation coming up in a couple days. I'm counting down. It's been 18 months, and I am ready.
I'm not until the second week of July. However, it hasn't been 18 months for me. So you're long overdue, because I think you and I, like, we fight for squatting rights in this building. Like, between the two of us, we put in, I don't know, somewhere around 30, 34 hours a day. So, very well deserved. I'm sure you're looking forward to it. Where are y'all going?
Going to the beach. My in-laws live on the beach. It's easy. We've got, you know, got babysitters. Excellent. For the kids, the beach there for the adults. All good.
How dialed in are you on the NBA draft? Because, I mean, that's basically all I can want to talk about this week.
Yeah, I'm like double invested because of the Pelicans and them being in the state, obviously, and I'm a Knicks fan. And so The Knicks have the number 3 pick. The Pelicans have 1 and 4. There's a lot of intrigue. The Hawks just tried to trade 2 picks to move up to get number 3 from the Knicks in the first round. Is a team willing to trade up to get the Pelicans' 4th pick? They're not doing anything with that number 1 pick. We know what they're doing with that one.
Obviously.
Zion Williamson. But is there a team that's willing to trade up there? So it's a lot of intrigue, especially for me.
What does it look like the Knicks are going to do right now?
I think you got to take R.J. Barrett from Duke. If you don't, I think you're making a big mistake. This draft has 3 elite prospects. It's not the deepest draft. And so when you have 3 elite guys and you're in the position to take one of those 3, you have to do it.
How did you become a Knicks fan?
Okay, so everybody when I was growing up was a Chicago Bulls fan. Everybody loved Jordan and the Bulls. We didn't have a team yet here in Louisiana for me to root for. If we did, I'd probably be a Pelicans fan or Hornets before they become the Pelicans, obviously. So I picked the opposite of the Bulls. I picked the bad boys with John Starks, Charles Oakley, Patrick Ewing, Anthony Mason, those guys. So I kind of just went against everybody else. And plus, look, any time you root for a New York team, they're going to be on TV a lot as well.
Yeah, that's true. I would think the natural connection in Shreveport would have been Dallas. To make you a Mavs fan.
I don't know if that's a shot or not, but it feels like a shot.
It was kind of a shot,
yeah.
Just a little bit. No, but in basketball, in basketball, that literally would have been the closest one to you. So that would have been an acceptable shot. Plus, you know, Vernell Singleton from LSU played for the Knicks in the movie Eddie.
Yeah.
Not in real life, but in the movie Eddie.
I know, yeah.
So there was that. So you got the Pelicans draft, but you also have a couple of LSU Tigers that are on the board. Naz Reid, it's looking like his stock is falling a little bit, and I don't know why.
Yeah, a lot of people say he maybe came in a little overweight at the combine. I think you might look too much into that. Naz is a guy that worked hard when he was here. He'll be fine. Trayvon had an outstanding NBA combine. I think both those guys get drafted in the second round. I don't think teams want to make, you know, wait and try to sign those guys, undrafted free agent rookies, because I think they're both really good basketball players.
You think Trayvon goes?
I think he goes. I think he did enough at the combine. I think he did enough, obviously, here at LSU. I think he goes late in the second round.
The pick that I'm eyeing right now, and I hope you're right, because, I mean, he's a workhorse. He's going to put in the work wherever he goes. The pick that I'm eyeing right now is that Pelicans number 37 pick, because that is lining up for Naz Reid so beautifully. So beautifully. So,
well, since the Saints don't draft LSU guys, maybe the Pelicans can start to draft LSU guys.
Come on now. That tradition is changing. Well, who's on the show today?
Today it's supposed to be Matt Flynn, but he never shows up to work. So Hunt Palmer is coming on, and it'll probably be a better show since Hunt's coming on anyways. I mean, it's Flynn, right?
I understand. No, I get it. There's only so much, Married with Children's reruns you have to talk about. Or
it's a great show, by
wherever,
the way.
Oh, of course it is. Jacob Hester, Hanging with Hester, 1 to 3 on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge. Thank you for the time, brother.
Always, brother.
Fun part after the draft, though. After Thursday, when everything just goes straight to hell. Like, when free agency really gets into high gear and you start seeing teams just flinging money around left and right. That's when it really gets fun. Well, I don't know. It gets fun, and then it just gets overly dramatic. It turns into a big soap opera. It's like the Real Housewives of the NBA. And I don't know. Eventually, I just dial out because my team never is in the market for more than one. So, oh, we got our guy? Good. I'm done. I'm clocked out. Call me when, you know, Thanksgiving hits, and we're playing ball again. All right, coming up on 620 at Talk 107.3 FM WBRP. That means it's time for the Fox Business Report. Still to come, after Fox Business, we check in with Dennis Miller, and then Larry Magid from CBS is going to step in to talk cryptocurrency and Facebook. Joined right now by CBS's technology consultant, Larry Magid. Larry, good morning. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thanks for joining me this morning, because I wanted to talk about Facebook's new cryptocurrency. It's going to be coming our way next year, and it opens up so many questions and so many possibilities. So let's dive right in. And let me ask you the first question is, basically, how's this thing going to work?
Well, what you're going to do is you'll deposit money, probably U.S. currency, into some type of an account. And then you will be able to go onto Instagram or WhatsApp or Messenger, or use a standalone app to transfer that money. So it might be to pay a merchant, or it might be to transfer money to a friend or relative. So in some ways, it'll work a little bit like PayPal or Venmo does today, but you'll be able to transfer money anywhere in the world.
So is this confined just to like Facebook's world, like the things that Facebook owns, or will it go outside of Facebook to the rest of the world?
This will go outside of Facebook to the rest of the world. And in fact, Facebook is not doing this alone. They formed a coalition of a number of other companies, including PayPal and MasterCard and Visa and Spotify and many others. So this is going to be a global cryptocurrency, which is supported by numerous companies. Facebook is coordinating it and leading it, but they are not going it alone.
Cryptocurrency is something that isn't really in the mainstream just yet. I mean, the number of people who truly understand what it is and have invested into it is still very small. Meanwhile, Facebook has over 2.5 billion users. Is there a plan in place to bring this to be more mainstream, understood by more people?
I think the fact that Facebook is doing it, it makes it a lot more mainstream, and to roll it out to their, not just their current 2.7 billion users globally, but to try to get even more people using this currency. It actually gives Facebook a leg into the developing world. And by the way, while this may be interesting to people here in the United States, it could be life-changing to people in the developing world that don't have access to banks, credit cards, checking accounts, and all the things we take for granted. It's very difficult for somebody in many of these countries to transact any online transactions, let alone even to transact large currency exchanges at home. You know, sometimes farmers have to bring huge satchels of cash with them to buy their seeds or to take when they sell their crops. So it can be very valuable in the developing world. I think the big thing here is because we have companies like Facebook and MasterCard and Visa behind it, it's going to have the trust and the stability that the current cryptocurrencies, especially Bitcoin, lacks.
Technology consultant Larry Magid with CBS joins us. Larry, got one more for you, actually. Who is watching over Facebook to make sure everything stays on the up and up?
Well, that's a very good question, because traditionally financial transactions are regulated. It's not clear to me how or if this will be regulated. I think because of the scale of it, that governments, and I put the governments with an S on the end, will have an interest in making sure that this is legitimate and avoiding fraud. But in many ways, Bitcoin has been kind of a Wild West form of transactions, and one hopes this will be at least a bit more regulated than traditional cryptocurrency, but probably less so than the way money is usually transacted internationally today.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to have the trust to get the investment. And Facebook has shown in the past they can get people's trust when it comes to just about everything in our lives. So why not this being next, right?
I think it is important. And trust is a very important factor. But, of course, Facebook has some trust issues because of the privacy questions and the Russian interference to election and other things where they've let us down in the past. So one of the things Facebook has to do is assure people that this is private, it's secure, and it's not subject to manipulation or fraud.
Larry Magid, appreciate the time, man. Thanks. 6:31, time for CBS News. At Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP. Good morning, everybody. Brian Haldane here with you, and it is time for Legally Served every week on Wednesday at this time. we check in with attorney Franz Borghardt to get a little bit of legal advice. Normally it's about stories that are going on, stories that are in the news at the time, but along with being a regular on this show and on numerous other shows, Franz actually does some lawyering from time to time, and that's where he's at right now. Franz, good morning. How are you, man?
Good morning. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I could not be better, and I'm glad we have this opportunity. I love having you in studio, but I'm glad that we have the opportunity to talk about something that is aside from just the headlines, something that gets, kind of real. And the way I want to set this up is the vast majority of us don't spend a whole lot of time in a courtroom. The vast majority of us know courtrooms from TV and movies. So correct. I wanted you to walk us through the process of what you're doing right now. Obviously, you can't talk about the case that you're involved in. I get that, and I'm not going to press you for it. But
sure.
Walk us through what you're doing.
So I am knee-deep in a jury trial right now in Clinton, Louisiana. We have spent the last day picking a jury for what we would call an aggravated or first-degree rape case. Most people, Brian, see the inside of a courtroom through jury service. And so they get kind of a very small keyhole view of our justice system if they don't make the jury. So for the last day, I've been doing what we call voir dire. And basically, they call a certain amount of people up. They're subpoenaed from around the city and parish. And they show up, and basically the sheriff draws random names. And they get put in the jury box, and we basically do what we call voir dire, jury selection. Mm-hmm. And we ask a whole bunch of questions to figure out what we can find out about them. It's probably the most boring part of the trial, but it's probably the most important because you're trying to select jurors that will essentially embrace your theory of the case. And in my case, my theory of innocence. I'm arguing that my client is not guilty of these charges. So that's the first part of what we've been doing. Now, today, we're going to start bright and early at 9:30. We're going to do what we call an opening statement. And that's probably close to TV, Brian. That's probably an opening statement is where you lay out a roadmap of your case and what you plan to prove, what you think the evidence will prove. It's not an argument. The biggest difference from in courtroom and out of courtroom is the actual forensic science. We experience something called CSI effect. Our expectations are that forensic science can do all sorts of stuff we see on TV. And a lot of potential jurors and jurors bring that kind of assumption into the courtroom. And both sides got to have to dispel that. Now, sometimes when I say dispel, sometimes it benefits me for jurors to have unrealistic expectations of science because I can essentially, I hate to use the word exploit it, but I can essentially argue things in terms of reasonable doubt.
Right. Unreasonable expectation of science would just only add to the burden of proof. If they could do it,
correct.
If David Caruso can do it in an hour on CSI Miami, why hasn't it been done here? So obviously they're not guilty.
Yeah, I think the expectation is that these crime labs are these crazy science experiment laboratories, and that's just not the case. In reality, there are tried and true methodologies of testing certain things like DNA, fingerprints, drugs, and those are pretty standard at this point. Now, I will tell you, Brian, my case is a DNA case, which means that there is an element of DNA in my case, except I will also say that one of the things in my case is that we're arguing that it's what I would call a DNA transfer, which means that, yes, there is DNA, but it's in a place that you would expect to find DNA. Like if I were to swab your house right now, Brian, I would expect to find not only your DNA, but the DNA of other family members.
Okay.
So essentially what's going to happen, roadmap is state's going to put on witnesses. Each witness, I get the opportunity to cross-examine them. We call it the constitutional right to confrontation. At the close of the state's case, I have the opportunity to put on my own case, although I don't have to put on a case. My client will have the opportunity to testify if he wants to testify. We have we've got some witnesses. We've got an expert. So, we're going to put on a show, so to speak. And then we do closings. And closings where we can argue why we think the evidence fit our theory. In my case, again, my theory of innocence, why I think my guy didn't do this, why I think this guy is innocent and not guilty. And then they deliberate. And basically, this is under the old jury law. So my case is it's a 12-person jury where they have to, 10 of them have to come to a conclusion. So it's a very, very, very stressful, long process. Voir dire, jury selection is the longest part of the entire trial. So we're already, even though it doesn't seem like we've started the trial, that's the hardest part because, again, it's the most unlawyerly thing we do. We're talking to people. You know how lawyers are, Brian. We love hearing our own voice, and I'm certainly no different. I can't lie.
Which is why I'm going to jump in right now and cut you off because we're due for commercial here. When we pick it back up after traffic, I want to dive into some of the separation, some of the things that we see in TV and movies, and ask you if those apply in real life. So it's Legally Served with Franz Borghardt. You're listening to Talk 107.3 FM. Traffic's in 2 minutes, then right back into it. .646 to Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP, Brian Haldane here with you. Legally Served rolls on. Coming up in about 15 minutes, the CBS World News Roundup. CBS will have the latest on a new UN report talking about the number of refugees that are running away from war and turmoil in their own countries. It's hitting record numbers on the eve of World Refugee Day. CBS will have that at the top of the hour. Right now, we continue with Franz Borghardt. Franz, I wanted to talk a little bit about the separation of reality from television, like what some things that we see on TV that probably aren't the same in real life. So let's just run down a little checklist if we could, okay? TV,
number one.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say the biggest thing is trials don't last for an hour.
Well,
that's the biggest thing.
Yes.
I mean, but go for it. Checklist.
Okay, so number one, on TV, objections are always very dramatic. Is it like that in real life?
Actually, most of the time, when we object, we actually ask to approach and we do the objections at sidebar so that the jury can't hear what we're arguing about. Sometimes they can be dramatic. Sometimes in the moment you'll let a huge objection out so the jury sees it. But the reality is most of the time we're arguing at sidebar so that the jury isn't tainted by what we're arguing about. And sometimes, in fact, it's so intense that the jury will actually be excused from the room so that we can argue before the judge.
Really? Okay. See, what we're used to seeing, like, you know, on Law and Order or whatever, would be, you know, just standing up and, objection, overruled, judge that's always like, I'll allow it.
Now, sometimes it is like that, but I'll tell you, to be candid, Brian, most of the time it's not like that.
So what about the judge who is always kind of shifting where the fence is, shifting where the line of that you can't cross is, the I'll allow it judge?
So a good lawyer sees where the line is and tiptoes as close to the line as they can and sometimes dances on it. And to be candid, sometimes in the heat of the moment, you go over the line because the line is not – there are some lines that are clear lines in the sand, and then there are some lines to where if the other side doesn't object, you can get away with it. And that's not necessarily something unethical. That's just good strategy and good awareness of your situation. You know, it's on a pass ball, you're going to take second base, so to speak. So sometimes you've got judges that are biased. Sometimes we have judges that choose one side or the other and kind of lean. Fortunately, in my case, I've got a good judge that she's calling good balls and strikes so far. So, and by the way, that's the way it's supposed to be, right? It's just balls and strikes. If your client is guilty, then the state's going to prevail no matter how great of an attorney you are. If your client lives in a realm where there's reasonable doubt, then maybe they're going to be found not guilty. But, you know, we have judges that are questionable, so to speak, but most of the time they call good balls and strikes.
Franz Borghardt's our guest. We got one more segment to go here, and I'm going to tell you the biggest difference, I think, between TV and reality is the, quote, aha moment. So we're going to dig into that when we get back with Franz Borghardt. Right now we're coming up on 6:50 at Talk 107.3 FM. That means it's time for us to check markets with Your Money Now. .655 at Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP, Brian Haldane here with you. Good morning, everybody. CBS World News Roundup coming your way in about 5 minutes. Next hour, State Representative Stephanie Hilferty will join me to talk about the recently closed legislative session. Governor signed off on the budget yesterday, so we need a little recap from Stephanie Hilferty. Also, Congressman Garrett Graves joins us next hour, and I believe we've got some audio from the governor as well, talking about signing off on that budget. Right now, though, we got about 2 minutes left with Attorney Franz Burkhardt for our Legally Served segment. And by the way, if you have not yet downloaded the Talk 107.3 app, in the little chat section that's going on right now, you would have learned that judges do, in fact, wear clothes under their robes. Franz, we've got about two minutes to go here. We're trying to separate fact from fiction, real life from TV on when it comes to what goes on during a jury trial. One of the big things that I think we all see on TV, and we kind of all know it's fake, but kind of hold out hope that just there is a little bit of fantasy crossing over with reality. It's that aha moment. Does that ever happen during the trial?
There is seldom, if you've ever seen My Cousin Vinny, there's seldom that identical moment, you know, where it's that aha moment. It seldom happens. Each side gets discovery, gets all the evidence that is admissible. In fact, the law requires that we tender each other evidence. And so with few exceptions, there's not a lot of aha moments. Now, that being said, I'm going to contradict myself. I'll tell you that in this case, which I'll talk about after the trial's over, there's going to be an aha moment. But it just doesn't happen often.
Oh, wait a second. How can you say there's going to be an aha moment unless you've already had it?
It's because it's going to happen probably today. So, but it's more so because if one side does some investigating and figures out something about a witness that is going to be more testimonial than evidentiary. By that, I mean, it's not going to be getting in a picture or a piece of evidence, but it's something that you can trap a witness in. Well, then you could have an aha moment. But seldom does the witness admit to being the real murderer, like in every episode of Mad Love. You know, it just doesn't happen. I mean, in cross-examination, nobody ever says, you know, they don't admit to ordering the code red, so to speak. It just doesn't happen. Fortunately, huge cases actually go to trial because since everybody has all the evidence, we see the strengths and weaknesses of the case, and hopefully cooler heads prevail. But like this trial that I'm in, you know, there's no quarter, so it's just the safari out there.
Yep, and since so few trials or so few cases go to trial, that's why we were asking the questions we were asking this morning. Franz Burkhardt, you're back in studio next week, right?
Yes, sir. I'll see y'all back next week.
All right, brother.
Clinton.
Good luck in Clinton,
man. Have a good one.
Talk to you later. CBS World News Roundup's next.